I as well was thinking about this message was just about prepared by Friday, not completely, but just about. And I prayed much about what God would have me preach this morning. And I hope that as you're out there that you would pray for me, that God would give me the words that I need to give you this morning. I went ahead and finished the message, and I believe this is what God would have us hear this morning. And I just pray that each person here will attentively have your ears ready. Have your heart ready to receive God's word in whatever way he speaks to you. If that back door needs to be closed and we can close it, I don't know. I can hear people talking. Maybe we need to close it and so that we can. The first New Testament church in this city of Thessalonica, where we're reading from here in Thessalonians, was founded by three men, Paul and Silas and Timothy. They arrived there approximately, I'll give you just a little history. I don't know much about history, just as whatever I've read. They arrived there in the summer of around AD 50. They couldn't stay long because some interesting things took place. In fact, the interesting things were their lives were being threatened because of what they were teaching. The Orthodox Jews did not care for these exciting three preachers that came in and their new converts that were readily accepting Jesus as the Savior of the world. They didn't care for that. Well, they left and they went to Corinth, and then Paul writes this letter in Corinth, and he writes it back to the church at Thessalonica to see how they were doing. He sends Timothy to deliver the letter. So the church began by those three, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They had to leave. The church continued on. Paul went to Corinth. He wrote this letter back to them, delivered by Timothy. The great news was that they found that these new believers were remaining strong in their faith. They were remaining true to what the Apostle Paul and his two friends had began to teach them from God's word. So they also, though, had some questions for Paul. So Paul wrote this letter, the first epistle of to the church at Thessalonica, not only to answer their questions, but he also, and this is where the Lord gave me a message, he also wanted to commend them on their faithfulness to the good news that they had been given. I liken this to a halftime speech by a coach. As you know, my dad is a coach and has been in athletics for a long time. And I was privileged to hear several of those halftime pep talks. Some of them weren't so kind, because we weren't doing what we were supposed to do, and he made sure and let us know that. But many of them, however, were encouraging. You guys are doing a great job out there on the press. You're doing a great job boxing out and getting the rebounds. You're doing a great job out there practicing what you've been taught. It's exactly what Paul did. Paul wrote him a letter, and he says, I want to commend you. Look at verse number 2. Chapter 1, we give thanks to God always for you all. Paul must have been a southerner because he said you all. It's in there. And he said, we give thanks to God always for you all. This morning, that's the title of my message. Started on Wednesday to write, but very appropriate. I thank God for you. This morning, I want you to know, visitor, regular attender, member, young, middle-aged, more mature age, I thank God for you this morning. I thank God for you in more words, in more ways than only than the human tongue can express. That I want to be like the Apostle Paul, and I want to say that to you this morning. I would like to, if you will, echo that statement to each of you. Not a day goes by throughout a week where I'm not either praying for or thinking about you and your family members. And I thank God for you all this morning. I consider each person this morning here in this room a blessing from God. God has given each of you a special talent or ability. God has brought you here, and this is not a mistake that you're here today on this great Sunday, the third Sunday of October, October 16th. It's not a mistake that you're here today. And I thank God for you all this morning. Each of you this morning, God loves dearly. Whether you know much about the Bible or you know very little, or you may know nothing other than the gospel, which is definitely the best part to start with. Regardless of your Bible knowledge or your church past, God says, I love you this morning. And I want to be God's messenger in a very special way today. And I want to tell God that I want to tell you from God through my human voice that God is so good. He is still almighty. He is still the Alpha. He is still the Omega. He is still on his throne. He has not died. He has not missed a beat. He's cared for you. He's cared for me every day since the last time we met together. God is so good. And I thank God this morning for each of you. I thank God this morning for your kindness to one another. I thank God this morning for your going the extra mile for one another. I thank God this morning that Dave Garner was in the, he's not in there, but that he was in the program that he's in. Because on Friday, while I was on an errand going to pick up Jackie's son to bring him to Dave, I had sent for him over in the imaging area there where he's doing his practicum, and that the Lord ordained it and set it up so wonderfully that while I was away, he was able to come over and spend a few moments with the family and have a word of prayer with them that they can take with them from now to eternity. But I thank God for each of you this morning. We could call on the phone, and I apologize. We weren't able to call everybody. I called a couple, and we just called a few. It was so fast and everything. But I thank God for your prayers. I thank God for your support. I thank God for you all this morning. That's what Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonians. I thank God for you all. You're standing for right. You're standing for the truth. You're applying what you've been taught. I want us to see four things quickly this morning as why Paul said, I thank God for you all. And we'll look right into these verses of Scripture to find them. You know, most of you know how we are here at Anchor Baptist Church. This is the final authority, God's Word. This is where we go when we need help. This is where we go when we need a hug around our neck. This is where we go when we need encouragement. This is where we go when we need chastisement. This is where we go when we need hope, the Word of God, right here. And I want us to see some things this morning from God's Word. Would you look at verse 3 for me, with me? Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. This morning, number one, I want to say that this church at Thessalonica was an elect people. They were an elect people. The Bible says that there in verse number 4. Let me give you a little bit here about the church. Many of you know this term. The church in the Greek is ekklesia. Ekklesia. Now, I know that may not mean exactly much at all to you. Maybe some of you it does because you know what that means. I'm going to tell you what it means. It means briefly this definition, a called out group. A called out group set aside to carry on the Great Commission. Teach, preach, baptize for the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to say that I am thankful for you all because each of us here today is an elect people. The church is not a social club. At least I don't view the church as a social club. I don't view the church as a country club. The church to me, and it always has been and always will be, the church to me is a spiritual hospital. I tell you what, I'll be honest with you this morning, and I'm the pastor and I'm the leader, and I have to be strong, I know, but I'll tell you, I come in the back door, I'm glad you weren't here, I come in the back door about like this morning, spiritually speaking. Which way do I turn? My emotion tank is about E. It's below E. I ran out of gas already. We don't live by emotion. We don't preach by emotion. We preach by the Holy Spirit of God. Let me say this morning that I'm thankful for you all. And this place right here, whatever bandage you need, whatever wounds you need touched, whatever wounds you need healed, whatever scrape you need some ointment put on, whatever you have this morning that you need, you've come to the right place. For whatever reason, you were elected to come here today. God brought you here. Don't think that was a mistake. Don't think it was by chance. Don't think it was a fluke. It was by God. God set it up a long time ago before you or I were ever thought of that on October 16, 2005, you'd be at Anchor Baptist Church. When I got up on Friday morning, I didn't think I'd be at Burnaby General Hospital by the end of the day, quoting Psalms 23, as our dear beloved Margaret left her body here and went to glory. I did not think I would be doing that in the morning, but that's what God elected for me to do that day. It was God ordained. And I don't want to change God's will. And neither should you. Oh, I'm sad today. You are too. But oh, the joy that we have down deep in our soul when we know that reality is this, soon we'll be reunited again. And I thank God for all of you this morning that you are an elect people. We are an elect people. We are a church called out to serve the Lord. I love this verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. I'll quote it. If you want to turn to it, you may. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you're saved here this morning, let me just say, you have been pulled out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called you, whether it be through a preacher, whether it be through reading the Bible or a gospel tract, you are saved today because God called you, the Holy Spirit spoke to you, and you accepted by faith what the Word of God says. Amen. I'm not for a minute saying, hey, let's put it this way. I'm not a Calvinist, okay? Just hang on, though. God knows who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. That's God's. I don't understand God in that way. But you know what? God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's not my job to know who's going to be saved. It's my job to get the word of God so anybody can be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yesterday we went out soul winning. Yes, we don't cancel anything if we don't have to around here. We keep it going, and that's the way any of you that go on to glory, we love you, but I guarantee you'd want us to keep the schedule of this church and keep things going. And we went out yesterday, and the men and the women both, and we knocked on some doors, and Logan was my silent partner, and we didn't have anybody home hardly for the first half hour. But to begin that second half hour, we knocked on the door, and a dear lady from the country of Macau, did I say it right? Macau, a lady from the country of Macau, and a little island there right by Hong Kong. She opened the door, a beautiful lady, Anna, and I said, Anna, this is who we are. This is where we're from. Do you go to church anywhere? I'm trying to see if she knew English, and she definitely knew English very well. She conversed very well. And no, I said, have you ever been before? Yes, I used to go in my home country. That's when I asked her where that was, and she told me. And I said, well, Anna, I'd like to talk to you for just a moment about something so very important, and I believe it's God's will that we're on your doorstep today. And I said, I said this word for word, ask Logan, ask God, he'll tell you. I said, just yesterday, we lost one of our dear saints of our church. She's in heaven today. And I've got to tell you how you can know you're going to heaven too. I opened up my New Testament. I showed her the Romans road to heaven. It was an election day. Amen. It was an election day by God. A God ordained election day. I had a word of prayer for her. I said, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, Anna, if you'd like to accept by faith what Jesus has done for you, you can pray a prayer of faith. It doesn't save you the words. It's the faith in your heart that saves you. Anna, would you like to be saved today? You can pray right here, right now. And she said, yes. And I began to pray the old sinner's prayer by faith. And she prayed it out loud with me. And by God's grace and by God's, it was God's appointed time that she hear the word of God. And when she takes her last breath, she'll join us all in heaven. She got saved. Woo! I tell you what. I was about down here when I started soul winning, and I was about up here when I got done. I said, wow, Jesus saves. Even when the preacher's down in the dumps a little bit, even when the preacher's second-guessing God's timing, that God will still work through me, and God will still work through you. I thank God for all of you this morning. We are an elect people. God has brought us here for a cause. The cause is so great, we cannot fathom it in our brain that God has given us of all lost souls that are out there that need Jesus. There's so many of them. But Paul said, I thank God for you all. We walked away from the door. I said to Logan, that one was for Margaret. There's many more like that. They need Jesus. They need you. They need me to come to them. Tell them the truth. Look, there's so many people that are preaching a false gospel. And I'll say this as reverently, I don't know, I'm not much of a reverend though. I'll say it as reverently as I can, that they are sending people to the pit of hell with their false teaching. And we have the gospel truth that Jesus saves, that Jesus loves, that Jesus keeps. And today, our dear sister is not here. She was sitting right there 7 days ago. Her brother's taking her place today. But she's up there in the great cloud of witnesses watching us today, looking down here, sitting right next, I'm sure, to Geraldo's mom up there in glory. And sitting right there next to Felicite, who's up in glory. And sitting right there next to others that have sat in this room that are now in heaven. And they're up there. Why? Because somebody told them the good news that Jesus saves. And at one point in their life, they bowed their head and they prayed and they got saved. If you want to join that great cloud someday, you've got to come to Christ for salvation. You've got to. I can't save you, dear friend. I can't do it. Why? For all have sinned. The pastor is a sinner. And I'll be the first one to sign on the dotted line. I am. I admit it. Only one can save. The one who never sinned. My Savior, Jesus, saves. Today, if I could, I would beg you, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, goodness gracious, Jesus has open arms right now. He says, come unto me. I will give you rest. Going through life without Jesus cannot be very restful. All right? I know you don't mind me doing this, but if Mrs. Davis wasn't a Christian and we went through what we just did the last couple of days, it's all hypothetical. She went to heaven, amen. But can you imagine the extra level of sorrow had she not been a Christian? And yet all around us every day, people go out into eternity and they're not saved. I thank God for you all this morning because we're an elect people. Paul knew these people were saved. Why? Quickly, number one under this, their work of faith. Works don't save, but faith should lead us to works. Their labor of love. I've got to move along. Their labor of love. The world lives for self. Anchor Baptist Church Christians should be willing to labor for others. Why? Because of love. Paul knew they were saved because of their faith, because of their labor of love, because of their patience of hope. Oh, my soul, I just was touching on a minute ago. The unbeliever has no hope. We have our hope not in this world. We have our hope not in the preacher. And amen. Because I get weak, and you get weak, Don't put your hope in the preacher. Oh, I'll be more than willing to pray with you and be by your bedside and marry you up here as we've done and parks, wherever. It doesn't matter where. We'll marry you. We'll love you. I'll be strong for you. But I'll tell you, my hope is not built in me. Because I am the preacher. My hope is not built in me. My hope is built in Jesus. And this morning, Paul knew they were saved because of their patience of hope. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Is that right? Okay. I should have wrote it down. My brain's a little squiggly. Kind of like spaghetti noodles. Amen, Geraldo. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Woo. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. I will come again. We have a great hope this morning. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Woo. Goodness gracious. That'll give you a jolt. We have a great hope today, and the world needs to see that we have a great hope. If we never smile and go out into the world and we never smile or we never grin, boy, I don't know. I don't have much to offer if I look just like the world does. Look, I've got a hope that even in the midst of the grief that you can't understand unless you've lost a loved one, we all have, a mother or a father or something like that, there's great grief. But as the Christian, there's great hope. There's great hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I need no other righteousness. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. What a great group Paul wrote back to. What a great group I speak to this morning. They were an elect people. Number two, verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Number two, they were an exemplary people. They were an exemplary people. What does that mean? Let me give you the statement. It is a blessing and encouragement when someone hears the word of God, believes it, practices it, and proclaims it. That's what Paul said. He said there, ye became followers of us. Who's the us? Paul, Timothy, Silas. What were they doing? Preaching the word of God, proclaiming God's word, witnessing. Paul says, I thank God for you all because you're an elect group. Number two, because you're an exemplary group in that you have followed our example. I thank God for you all this morning because as a whole, we are following the example of the Word of God. I know so many of you are giving out gospel tracts when a year ago that would have been the furthest thing from your mind. That's the truth. I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying the honest truth. And you'd agree with that. And by the way, my level of tract distribution a year ago was not what it is today. And neither should yours, dear Christian. Because I always want to do more. I always want to do more. I always want to do more. I want to be an exemplary Christian that follows what I'm taught from the Word of God in love. And that's what Paul said to the church. He said, you're an exemplary group. He said, you have a testimony that has spread. Look what it says there. Not only in Thessalonica, but in Macedonia and Achaia. He said that your example, your testimony has spread through a community. How many of you today, your residence is New Westminster? Raise your hand. You live in New West, all right? There's some here. How many of you live in Coquitlam? All right, good group. How many of you live in Port Moody? All right, good, there's some there. How many of you live in Surrey? Anybody live in Surrey? Okay, good, well, yeah, good. Hey, that's right, you're here. How many of you live in Delta? All right, good. We got the deltas here. All right. And let's see. How many of you live in Burnaby? Okay. Now, there's more in Burnaby, but Vancouver. Am I missing anybody? Well, I know Kelowna. Amen for Kelowna. Let's not forget Kelowna. And they know about us up there, too. Okay. How many cities did I name? Six or seven? Somebody count them up. I want to know the exact number. Burnaby, Coquitlam, New Westminster, Port Moody, Surrey, Delta, Kelowna. We don't have anybody from Vancouver, though, right? No, I just named it. Okay, seven cities here this morning. Okay, we're being an example to other communities. You say, well, some already knew. Hey, you can paint it however you want, but we are following here, and word is spreading to this community. It's amazing that God has done what he has done in a short time with no permanent sign up. You ever think about that? We have no permanent sign up here. None. In fact, I just met somebody this week that didn't even know we were here yet. And they've lived in this area their whole life. I said, we've been there almost 5 years. I said, but we don't only have a sign up 2 days a week. And only one day a week in the winter because it's dark before we even get here on Wednesday night. Paul said to the church, I thank God for you all. I thank God for you this morning. Number 3, verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. They were not only an elect people, an exemplary people, but number 3, they were an enthusiastic people. Bible says, sound it out. Amen? Sound it out. Paul said there in the prison, hey, jailer, we're still here. Do thyself no harm. He sounded it out. I know I've used it before, but I love it. He didn't whisper. He didn't whisper a prayer in the morning. He didn't whisper a prayer at noon. He didn't whisper a prayer in the evening. I don't mind doing that. But Paul said, hey, 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 don't do that. He was enthusiastic. Believe me, he wasn't dead as a doornail when he said that. He was enthusiastic about it because that jailer was about ready to plunge himself into eternity. And he got enthusiastic, and he said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Now let me come tell you why we stayed. Enthusiastic. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 16:31, and thou shalt be saved. That's what he told him. An enthusiastic people. When you think of that word sounded out, I think of this, blowing a trumpet. I loved it when the Josephs were here this summer. And I don't even remember which one it was that knew how to play the trumpet. His name was Joseph. That's about all I know. And I don't remember which one it was. But I loved hearing that trumpet. How many of you liked hearing that trumpet? Amen. I love hearing a trumpet anytime. But I don't know. He really, boy, he sounded it out. He was enthusiastic about that trumpet playing. Paul said to the church, I thank God for you all. You're enthusiastic. This morning, I thank God for you all. Because I believe that God has put us together as a family, and we're enthusiastic about serving Christ. Serving Christ is not done at half speed. Amen, Brother Tilma. And serving Christ is done at full speed. Amen. Amen. Take off, no holds barred, going along for Jesus at full speed. Boy, we hit potholes every once in a while when we're going full speed, and they hurt, and they mess us up a little bit, but we get it fixed up. We come, that's why we come here. We get those potholes fixed up, what they did to us, the damage they did, and we keep on going, being enthusiastic for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can have a smile on my face this morning, and my heart might be breaking inside, but I can be enthusiastic this morning that Jesus Christ is still the Savior. He's not changed a bit. He's not changed at all. He still saves. He still keeps. And he still loves you today. And let's be enthusiastic about this thing. I'm so excited about the enthusiasm of our young people at this church. That keeps me, I'm 31. Am I 31? 31, let's see, 1973. 32, oh my goodness, I lost a year somewhere there. Almost 33, that's terrible. I'll say 31, that's okay. I'm 32, and sometimes I don't feel like I was 21. And I don't feel like I'm 21, I'm not 21. But then you get around these kids up here on the front row, and I'll tell you, they are, and all spread out too, but they are enthusiastic about this thing. They sing out, they might not hit the right note, they just follow me, that's why. I don't hit the right note. And they sing out. They have a smile on their face. They may have the songbook upside down, but they're enthusiastic about having their songbook upside down. And they're participating. and they're enthusiastic in there right now. We might hear a few noises coming from them in there, and it's okay. And they're enthusiastic out in the nursery and on the bus. I know they're enthusiastic on the bus. I mean, that bus probably moves half an inch or two before Sunday school's over. If you don't know, we have a Sunday school on the blue bus every Sunday, and that class is growing, and they're enthusiastic about it. I asked Jack this morning, how many of your Pizza Hut coupon books have you sold? He's already sold some. Amen. That's for the teen conference coming up. Be enthusiastic. Carmen, how many did you sell? Sold 3. We're almost at 10. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to sell 100 though. Amen. Amen. You guys got to start eating pizza so we can go to youth conference. All right. So we'll sell you a gift certificate to Pizza Hut. All right. They were excited about it. They were excited. They were exemplary. They followed the leading of what God wanted them to do. They were an elect group. They were an elect group. Today you're here because God puts you here. An exemplary group. Lastly, this is what I like the best. Verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven. Wow. Did you catch that? And to wait for his son from heaven. You might know the fourth point by now. They were expectant. They were an expectant group. They were waiting for Jesus to return. The verse goes on to say, whom God raised from the dead. I believe it says that. Which delivered us from the wrath to come. Paul said, I thank God for all of you, for you all. The return of Christ for the believer needs to be more than a doctrine that we teach. It must be a dynamic. It must be dynamic in our daily walk. If it's just a doctrine that we teach and it doesn't change the way we walk, it's not doing what it should be for you and me. The call up to meet the Lord in the air is very near. All you have to do is see what is happening around our world so quickly and so close together. Are you living an expectant life, believer? Are you holding on to worldly activities that does not show an expectant Christian? Are we expecting a call from heaven, maybe, for us to go ahead of the rapture? My notes now, the ink color changes because I received a call right here on Friday. Look at what I was writing when the phone call came. You think that's spooky? No.